Okay, we're continuing on the top of page Chav, in the middle of Os Chav Beis, where the Tzaddik is telling us that before we can understand how to get close to Hashem, we have to define this term. What is this concept of being close to the Creator? What type of closeness is this? And if we're not clear as to how to define that term of closeness to Hashem, what does that mean? What kind of closeness? How are you going to know how to get there? And therefore, the Tzaddik says, knowing this point of what the definition of closeness to Hashem means, a person should pay millions of dollars for this. Because if you don't know what it is, you won't know how to get there. So we're at the top of page Chav. Let's start right at the top line. We went a couple lines further, but let's just stop at right at the top of page Chav. So if he doesn't know what the definition of closeness to Hashem is, why is he alive? If he doesn't know what this life is, what is this life? What is his goal? What is his service in the days of his life? And by not knowing the concept of being close to Hashem, will a person merit acquiring that closeness to Hashem? V'chihu davar hanikna me'elav, is this something that just comes automatically? Shein tzarech l'das klalas mahuso v'esaderech l'knosa, he doesn't really need to know at all what it is and how to get there. You know, in other words, like, for example, a little child to get language development. You really don't have to sit down with the kid and explain to him what language is and how you get language and this and that. You immerse him in that environment and he'll get it. Okay, but, you know, living a purposeful life doesn't work that way. And a lot of people think, you know, I just do what it says to in the Torah and it'll kind of come. It'll come. This idea of being close to Hashem, I'll be there. And he's saying that that's not true. That's not true. It's not something that just comes by itself. Reishis avodas ha'adam la'achashu bir la'asu shetichlas ha'chaim yikirvus Hashem. The beginning of one's service, after it's clear to you that the goal of life is being close to Hashem. Again, to repeat for those who haven't been here before. Up to now, the Rebbe has basically, the Tzaddik has laid down a few basic points to realize what's our purpose of life, and our purpose of life, as King David says, and as the Mesil Shasharim expanded on, Kirvas Hashem Li Tov, closeness to Hashem, that is good for me. Living a life of attachment to God, that is the reason why we're alive. And if we don't want that, then there's no reason for us to be alive. And we won't have happy lives. So if we know that that's what it's all about, so at that point, if you've clarified to yourself that that is why I'm here, and that is why, the only way I will really enjoy life, so therefore, ata avoda solavar, maho amusag amiti, hanikra kirvas Hashem. So we have to now define and clarify, what does this term really mean? What does it mean to be close to Hashem? Rak la'acha shi'ivar la'odam la'hechem b'diyaku rotzal again. Only after it is very clear to the person where he wants to be, then Azaya Vodasa Lavara Ketsu Yigal Hashem. Then his work can be, he'll know what to do to get him to that place. Nitan Mashal Ludar. Let's give an example. Adam Noseya Mirshlaim LeBnei Brak. A person is going to travel from Jerusalem to Bnei Brak. Imu Eni Adea Klal Shirosa Lagil Bnei Brak. But if he doesn't know that he wants to get to Bnei Brak, Ketsu Yeda Sader Shutarach Lin Soba. How's he going to know the way he needs to go? In other words, the guy's going. He's going out of town. Where? I don't know. I don't know where I'm going. Well, he's supposed to be in Bnei Brak. You know, let's say let's go to a wedding, and he lost the wedding invitation. Only thing he knows one thing: the wedding is not in Yerushalayim. Okay, he sits in the car. He starts going. Where are you going? I don't know, but I'm getting there. I'm going there fast. You know, he's speeding because he knows he's late also. But where you go? I don't know. Right. So how's he going to get there? Right? Doesn't make any sense. My goal in life is to get close to Hashem. Okay, how do you get there? I don't know. I don't even know what the destination is. There's this place called, you know, close to Hashem. but I don't even know what that means. I don't know what that means. I don't know how it feels. But I'm really going there fast because I'm doing lots of mitzvahs. I'm learning a lot of Torah. You're right. You're going in the car, but you don't know where you're going. If you don't know what this term means. Ain tam lo linsos levaris aderech mteishu lai hu einenu munyan klal lagil lebnei brak el tzvas. It doesn't make any sense to try to clarify the direction because, you know, he may not be interested at all to going to Bnei Brak. Maybe he thinks he's supposed to go into tzvas. Lozaya vodasol levaris aderech tzvas, and he has to clarify the directions to get to tzvas. So it doesn't make any sense. It makes no sense at all. So in Cain, therefore, tchila ala adam levar lahechanu rotz lagia. So a person first has to clarify where does he want to go. Vazaya vadoso levaris aderech hamovil aliyad hamavukash. Then his service is to clarify. Okay, now that I know what the destination is exactly, now I can clarify how I will get to that destination. So that's very important what he's saying. You know, we talk about these ideas. We talk about this idea. God created us to have pleasure, and the pleasure is to be close to Hashem. And we say it over and over like parrots. And you don't even know what that means. You don't know what that means. So if you don't know what it means, how are you ever going to accomplish that goal? And Lutzaro says you get there by doing mitzvahs. Okay, I'm doing mitzvahs, but you still don't know where you're going. Right? If you can't really taste and understand what that closest to Hashem is, then there's no way that those mitzvahs are going to make that happen. All right, so now we're wondering, yeah, well, I don't know. Really, I don't know what that means. So then he concludes this section and says, Ilu nemar she'efshel avaris ha'musa kirvas Hashem. So what are they going to say? It's impossible to explain what it really means. It's one of those terms, you know, it's like Kabbalah. You know, what does the world of Atzilus really mean? I don't know, but it means close to Hashem. It's close to Hashem, and we have no concept what it means. And you can live with that. That you can live with. So what does close to Hashem mean? Close to Hashem? It's too mystical for me. I'm not going to understand that. So he says, it's not possible to say that. So would God require a person to do something that's impossible for him to accomplish? Right? If God created us for a purpose, it means he wants us to get to the purpose. And if the purpose is close to Hashem, then it must be we can do that. So if it must be we can do this, it must be we have to know what it means. So, Brahakur, you have to say, Shuyachalias Musa Glachalam. It has to be a concept that everybody can understand, even a simple person. Therefore, our service now must include a clarification of what that term means, closeness to Hashem. Okay, Chav Gimel. I know the tzaddik here is really belaboring this. He's not. Yeah, I know some of you are going to say, "Will he get to the point already?" And the point is, he wants you to really understand how much you don't know. When you get to the point where you really know you don't know anything, then maybe you'll be ready to listen to what he has to say. Because all of us kind of get feeling insulted right now. What does he mean? I've been a Jew for so many years, and he's telling me I don't know the first thing about Judaism. That's right. You don't know the first thing about Judaism. That's what he's saying. But he wants you to be really clear about that. Because otherwise, if you don't feel like you really don't know anything, then why should you continue in the book? Right? So that's what he's driving home, that point. He's just drilling it home. Again, he's going to do it for a number of pages. You're not going to get to the stuff you want to hear, you know, till probably another 4 or 5 pages. You know, then you're going to say, oh, okay, now he's saying stuff that's interesting. Now I'm too glued into him. So that's the problem with every good sefer is like that. Misil Shasharim was like that. All this form we did, it took pages and pages till they finally tell you why they're really writing what they're writing. And in today's society where you have the channel changer that clicks back and forth, and if in 2 minutes a show doesn't interest you, you just drop it. So, you know, you have to have a more mature attitude to spirituality that you've got to hold off the self-gratification for a while. So he continues pummeling away at us to tell us we don't know anything. So Chaf Gimel, Ilu ha'adam lo zocha adayim leida beberu mahi kirvas Hashem midus. If a person has not yet merited to know what clearly this term means, being close to Hashem, hare shechos yidiyazu. So don't think that the lacking this knowledge. So he's saying the lack of this knowledge. Einenu chos yidiya prati b'tchum mesuyim. It's not like you're lacking a certain detail in a specific area. You know, let's say, you know, we learned Parshas Noach. Okay, how old was Noach when he was told to build the table? Anybody know? How old was he when he was told to build the table? 600? Okay, there's only one person who got it. Okay, Brian got it. 480. Okay, the fact that you all got it wrong, it will not affect your understanding of Parshas Noach. Okay, you won't get it right on a trivial pursuit quiz about Judaism. All right, you'll get a zero on that. But if you know basically why he built the ark and why society was destroyed and all those things, okay, so you're ignorant to a detail that you can live without it. It's not the end of the world if you don't know that Noach was 480 years old. It isn't. And if you don't know, whatever, at certain points, you know, you better know what it means the world was filled with Hamas. And you better know why society became so depraved because of what they did. And you gotta know why God wanted to kill the world. Now those are important points. But if you don't know that Noah was 400 years, okay, mainly you don't know. It's not the end of the world. Okay, are you lacking total knowledge of Torah? Yes. But is it critical to your being a good Jew and having understood this parsha? No. So now what about, you know, this point? This point to understand what does it mean to be close to Hashem in real terms? So it says this is not a detail, an insignificant detail of Yiddishkeit. You can say, well, you know, I know the mitzvahs of Torah. I know how to keep Shabbos. Okay, so I don't know this. So, you know, so the Chavetz Chaim do it and I don't know it. So what's the big deal? He's saying, Elazehu choser yediyah b'chol mahu sachayim. This is lacking knowledge of the entire essence of life. Right? You're missing out on the whole game. It's frightening. Since the whole goal of a person's life in this world, and the goal of everything he does in this world, regardless if it's hein limud Torah, if it's learning Torah right now like we're doing now, or it's doing mitzvahs, or the neutral things that we do, eating lunch, going to work, all these things, they're only there for one purpose, to get you to cling to God. That's everything you do. That's what it's there for. Nimsus, okay, so you, okay, I hear it. I have to cling to God. How do I cling? What do I do? What do I do to cling to Him? Right? Nimsa comes out, Shim any adea dvekus b'shemai. If we don't understand what clinging to God is in real terms, then ain lo yedia brua mai techus lef. Then you really don't know what the purpose of your life is. And then you don't have a clear understanding of the essence and the goal, the inner essence and goal of everything you're doing. You really don't know why you're doing anything in this world. Because Hashem said so. That's not good enough. It's not good enough. So now that I'm doing because Hashem said so, what did Hashem want me to accomplish through it? To be close to it, but I don't know what that means. You're able to learn Torah and do mitzvahs. But he doesn't know where that Torah learning and that mitzvah observance is supposed to direct him. So if you don't know where it's supposed to get to you, so you don't know, you know, you're not doing it the way it's supposed to be done. You're not doing it the way it's supposed to be done because you don't know where it's supposed to take you. So, and that's the problem. You know, we mistakenly think that even though we don't know what it means to be close to Hashem, so now how do we kind of deal with this? Hashem will say, well, you know, after I die, right, then I'll be close to Hashem. If I was good in this world, I did all the Torah, all the mitzvahs, then, you know, when I die, oh, that's going to be the place we're going to really get it. Because since I'm in a body now, it's impossible to be close to Hashem. It's impossible. So why bother doing it? Oh, because, listen, we're only living 70, 80, 90 years. That's so short compared to eternity, and eternity is forever. And forever, I don't know what it is, but oh, it's going to be great. It's going to really be close to Hashem. So it's worth it. It's worth it to get up every day at 5:45 and to learn every day and to do mitzvahs and all these things that are so hard to do. Why? Because when you die, you're going to be close to Hashem. And then Hashem will explain to you what it means and you'll feel it and it'll be amazing. So that and unfortunately, many, many, many observant Jews live that way. I'm telling you, you go to any Orthodox shul and you just ask them these questions. They're going to get very angry at you. Because you know, you don't have to know this stuff. Balchuva, you think you have to know it. You don't have to know this. It's not necessary. When you die, you'll feel it, so forget it. Right? Leave me alone. Yes?
I mean, one of the first things we learned at Balchuva was Nasa Benishma.
Right?
So how is that consistent
Okay, very good question. Excellent question. That's a really good question. I have to repeat it so the tape recorder hears it. If we were taught as Baal Tshuvas, forget about as Baal Tshuvas. Even little children go to Cheder. We're all taught. Nasav and Ishra. You have to do and then you will understand. All right? So which seems to say, just do it even though you don't know the purpose. That's so that's initially. So you know the answer too. Initially, you do it. Right? A child who's 7 years old, you tell him, learn Chumash. Why? Just do it. You know? Because, you know, even though you don't understand why you need to do it, you should be trained in doing it. Because if you're trained in doing, when you understand what it's going to do for you, then you'll be used to doing it, and you'll continue doing it. Right? Or there's sometimes you really don't, sometimes, you know, and as you get older, you will understand what this Kirvas Elohim means. Not everything comes in the initial stage. I hear what you're saying. Let's start from children. Then we'll get to Baal Tshuvas, because we're going the wrong order. Initially, there weren't supposed to be Baal Tshuvas in the world. Initially, everyone's supposed to be raised from. So let's start that way, and then we'll go to Baal Tshuvas. Okay, you got a 5-year-old kid, right? So you tell him, you know, Moshe, you should learn Aleph Beis. Why should I learn Aleph Beis? I like playing. You know, Moshe, it's very important to learn Aleph Beis. Hashem wants you to learn Aleph Beis. Hashem wants you to learn Torah. And you tell them the story of Nasav and Nishma and the Jewish people, they said, Hashem's going to give us the Torah. We don't know what's in the Torah, but it's so good. It's so good. So you know, we trusted him and we did it. So you know, trust in Hashem and you'll see. It won't be that long and you'll understand why it's good. Okay? Or any aspect in our lives. I don't see exactly why this mitzvah is going to get me even close to Hashem. That's fine. Just do it. Just do it for a while. Okay? So now you do it. Now you're trained to do it. Once you're trained to do it, then later, when the intellect gets a little more mature and is able to handle it, then you'll understand how it's getting you close. But if you're going to wait till your intellect matures, and you haven't been doing it for years and years and years, and you're used to other things, used to playing ball all day. Okay, now that I'm 14, now you're explaining it to me. First of all, you're not going to want to hear it because you'd rather play than do what Hashem wants. Once you're used to doing it, and you're okay with it, then when the understanding of what this Kirvas Elohim Li Tov means, then you'll be able to do it, because you're used to doing it. You're being trained to do it, so you understand it. You understand it. Just like teaching a kid how to read. Most kids do not want to learn how to read. At least in my family. You know, like A, B, C. You know, big deal. It's so boring. Like, what does it do for you? We say, listen, one day you're going to learn how to read, and you're going to really understand how valuable reading is. So you're fighting with them, with the phonics, and the this, and the that, and the PH is F, and the TH is TH, you know, all these things. And it doesn't make any sense. You'll see. Then finally, when they got enough skills, and you give them a book, and they're able to read a story on their own, they say, you know, I see what you mean. You were right. You're right. It's good. What if the kid says, no, until I know why I have to read it, until I can feel the pleasure of reading. You can't feel the pleasure of reading until you know how to read. So you gotta learn how to read. And just trust me, it'll come. It won't take till Olam Haba. It'll come not to, you know, by grade 4, you'll already have enough skills. You really can read great books and you really will enjoy life because you have that skill. So you teach them a certain degree of patience. And a certain degree of patience we don't have. Same thing with mitzvahs. You gotta get them used to doing the mitzvahs. Then there has to be a time where you say, okay, now we're gonna tell you why these mitzvahs are so good, and you're at an age to understand that as well. So that's the same way it has to work with the Baal Tshuva. And this is why many Baal Tshuvas fall off the rails. Because people don't get them to this point. They get them Nasav Nishma, Nasav Nishma, Nasav Nishma. That lasts for a while. But you gotta get to that Nishma part. That's the problem with a lot of the Nasa and Nishma programs, is a lot of the Nasa and not enough Nishma. It's gotta get to that point where the person does get it, what, and feels what it does for him. If you don't take that person to that stage, then you're right, it isn't gonna work. But we can't expect the person in the initial stages to really understand these are deep concepts. These are deep concepts. So you're gonna ask, how does a Baal Tshuva ever become a Baal Tshuva to begin with? Because probably the life they have, they don't like, so they're willing to do anything to get out of it. It's very rare that a happy, happy person, totally happy, totally happy, all of a sudden you tell them, you know, you're going to be happier being close to God. Oh, yeah, fine, that's good, we'll do that. It's very rare, you know. You know, there has to be something that either is missing or their neshama is just feeling, even if things are good, but their neshama is screaming that something isn't there. So they're willing to hear something different. They're willing to hear something different, and if it makes a little bit of sense, that's good, and that keeps you going for a while. But it gets to the point when, this is why I always say, the plateau of the Baal Tshuva and then the subsequent descent to being like the other from people who don't know anything about Yiddishkeit is when they stop the learning. This kind of stuff, you can't talk to a secular Jew. They're not going to get you at all. I'm not going to get you at all. But you know what? If you can tell a secular Jew, you don't have to tell them about Kirvas Elokim, Eli Tov, you don't have to tell any of these things. You tell them one thing, you know, you're unhappy with your life? I can't take it. I can't take it. The rat race is killing me. So I'm going to tell you about Shabbos. I'm going to show you how Shabbos is going to make you a happy person. And you can show it to them. There's less stress. And that will work for a while. It will work for a while. If they're open-minded, you know, it's a pleasure. It's a pleasure. I don't have to pick up the phone. It's amazing. And it'll work for a while. 1 year, 2 years, 3 years. It gets to the point, you know what, I've done this enough times. You know what, I'm used to not having the stress, but it's not really, and I'm not getting anything more out of it. And then they go to, then they say, you know, so what's better if I read the paper? And what's better if I do this? And what's better if I do this? And then all of a sudden, and then it just becomes a pleasurable thing. And then you start defining what your pleasures are again. And that's where the critical thing is, you know, you have to wait to get to your 4, 5, 6, 7, 8 in Baal Tshuva mode to get into this kind of stuff. When you're really ready to hear this, and you can't just give it to people in the early stages. But quite often the Baal Tshuva says, okay, I know how to keep Shavas, I know how to keep Taras and Mishpah, I know this, I'm ready to go. And they're what we call the half-baked Baal Tshuva, and they don't have it. They just don't have it. And they think they have it. And that's when you run into the major problems. The major, major problems. So that's basically the answer. You can't expect, God is not expecting in the early stages to really get Kirvas Elokim Litov, what that means. It's not an easy topic because you gotta get rid of a lot of other junk before you can appreciate what it is. So hopefully, you know, you get out of the negative environment of what one was in, and one gets into a more positive environment, then the message will be able to be heard. That's what it is always in Nasa V'Nishma. Nasa V'Nishma always is, you know, we trust you, and it will come in time. It will come in time. But not by itself. Not by itself. Yeah?
Sorry, I appreciate the explanation.
Okay, but
this author is saying it's not going to come. And that's why he has to tell us what he's telling us.
Right, it's not going to come until you continue to learn more. Until you further dig, as you keep doing, and if you don't stop doing, then you will hear it. You will hear it because you're gonna live it. You're gonna find out what it is, and then you're gonna do the next difficult thing. And he's gonna tell us things that you know, gonna say, I don't know if that's gonna work. Then he says, now you gotta trust me because now I'm telling you this is the way you're gonna get there. So it's the same problem with frum people. It's no less with frum people. You know, a lot of these frum kids, you know, they're in school, they're so focused on the information, and they're so focused on the facts, and they're so focused on knowing the halachas, and they're not focused on giving a class on Kirvas Elokim Litov. They're just not focused on it. It's not on the curriculum. So that's a major problem. So we do all kinds of things to hold our kids. They have to. You know, parents say it's so good to learn Torah. It's so beautiful. And this, you gotta know it, you know. But only as long as you can control them. You hope you get them into the right seminary. You hope you get them in the right seminary, and the right seminary will teach them the right things. You're hoping. And a lot of times it doesn't work. It doesn't work. All right, we'll see. You know, Mitchell, this answer will become better for you when we find out what it is. Okay, that's got to be Nasa V'Nishma. You gotta hang in a few more, another 20 pages. You got a Nasa the 20 pages, and then you'll Nishma. Then you'll hear what he's saying, and then you have to see if you're willing to do it. This concept of Kirvas Elokim Litov is not easy, because really what it will demand is you totally, and initially, totally surrendering your whole essence. And not everybody's prepared to do that.
There's stages of Nasa. maser, like a person walking into Westman on the Shabbos, I mean, gets a little taste of something, it may encourage him maybe to come back a second Shabbos, or maybe one time, maybe light candles, or challah baking. So there's a little bit of naseh, and then there's a little bit of nishma. Then you move it to a next level of naseh v'nishma. Like right now, we're in a different level of naseh v'nishma.
I understand, but this kind of stuff is like way down the line. This kind of stuff is way down the line. And I'm telling you, in the normal progress for a Baal Tshuva, it takes years to get to this point. It doesn't, this idea, in 1 year, I'm totally frum. It's like the biggest disaster. Because I don't know the percentages, but the high percentage of the instant frum becomes instant not frum, or over time, or instant stale frum, or whatever you want to call it. And you miss that, it's Nasa was, according to the Zohar, Nasa is an acceptance to do mitzvahs, and Nishma is an acceptance to learn Torah. What does that mean to say? It means even after you know how to do all the mitzvahs, you still have to learn Torah. Because that is going to be one of the key components to this idea of clinging to Hashem. And that's the problem. When the Baal Tshuva says, I already know how to keep Shabbos, I know how to do the Judaism thing, I don't need to learn more Torah. And you're going to find out, if you stop learning Torah, there's no way you can be close to Hashem. There's no way you can be close to Hashem. And that's the whole point. Even after all the Nasa, there still has to be the Nishma. Still has to be the learning of Torah that has to kick in over here. And that's where people fall down. That's where they fall down. So we'll see. It's a really good question, and it really can't be adequately answered till we do a few more pages. Unless I want to give away the answers, and I don't want to do that, because the author didn't want to. So I would be violating why he wrote the book, Because if I jump ahead, then you're getting the information too fast. Again, only when you really believe you need the information will the difficult message have an ability maybe to get absorbed and accepted, as opposed to reach out and say, no, that's just for the Chafetz Chaim. And that's what he's so afraid to tell you in the beginning what it is, going to say, forget it. It's too hard. I'm not going to do it. So he got, I'm not implying any of us are like this. You want to help a person with a drinking problem, right? When will he really listen to you? When he knows he's hit rock bottom. Only when he knows he's hit rock bottom, then is he willing to listen. Now, chas v'shalom, none of us are rock bottom in being wicked people and all that. But when you hit rock bottom and you're totally agreeing that you know nothing about your reason for living, that you have no idea what kiras Elohim means, and you know how important it is, and you've hit rock bottom that, you know what, the guy has convinced me I know nothing. And there's no purpose for what I'm doing. Okay, then you know what? I really can't fool myself anymore. Okay, then I'll go through the pain. Okay, tell me what it is. Tell me what it means to be close to Hashem. My body doesn't want to listen. My Yetzer Hara doesn't want to listen. But I know that I'm doomed if I don't have it. Okay, then maybe you're going to listen to it. That's what he's doing. He's trying to get us all slowly to hit rock bottom in terms of really, yeah, I'm telling you, go to an Orthodox shul and you tell them they don't know what they're doing in Yiddishkeit, you'll get a revolution. They're going to get angry at you. They're going to throw rocks at you. And I say, what are you crazy? What are you crazy? I'm such a religious Jew. What do you want from me? While they're talking in shul. Like, these are the tip-offs to know. You want to have a tip-off. How a guy's not curious Elohim. What are the tip-offs? You don't have to argue. You can see. If a guy is in a shul and he's talking during davening, he cannot have curious Elohim Litov. It's not possible. It's just like a guy saying, I'm so connected to my wife. I'm so connected to my wife. And he never speaks to her. You can say what because he buys her presents and he does this. He does, but never says a word to her of any intimate value. Then whatever he says, you can't believe him. Because he is not close to his wife. Finished. If he never says, if he never has those intimate moments of speaking and sharing his heart and his feelings and crying together. If you don't have that, I don't care what you say. You are not close with your spouse. And don't try to fool anybody. Right? So, if when you feel, when you're davening that, again, I'm not talking about, your mamish have to get to work and it's mamish, it's impossible. And it's very hard. I'm not talking about, let's talk about Shabbos afternoon. Let's talk about Shabbos Mincha, okay? Nobody's got to go to work. But if you're looking at the watch, Shabbos afternoon, then there's a problem. There's a problem because davening is supposed to be one of the things that gets you the closest to Hashem. This thing gets you the closest to Hashem. How could you want to end it faster? But if you're looking at the clock, and another 2 minutes is, then you know, it's a giveaway that you're not in the ball game. You're just not in the ball game. Or other things, you know, you don't work on midos. Not to say, you know, let's say you have a bad midah. That doesn't mean you're not close to Hashem. Hashem gave you that bad midah, but you insist on not working on it. You just insist on it. I don't care. That's the way God made me. I don't, that's a tip off. It's a giveaway. You're missing the game plan. Right? So you have a lot of observant Jews who are just missing the boat. It's just not possible to say that I have fulfilled the goal of Judaism if you don't agree to work on a bad flaw. You don't stop talking in shul. Davening's always a bore. These are learning, you know, you don't like learning. You know, all these things. And if you'd rather go to a hockey game than go to a shir, right, and you're looking for any excuse, then it's a giveaway. It's a giveaway that you're not close to Hashem. But they still won't agree to it. So that's why, you know, the Rebbe's taking pain. So that's why I can't give you the full answer now. But I'm giving you the good enough answer for the time being. It's not the final answer, and I'm admitting it's not the final answer. Yeah? We learned the book on Shabbos. Oh, yeah, Shabbos Malchus.
Right.
But this one is getting much more to the core. This one's getting much more to the core. Listen, what can I tell you? This book wasn't available till last year. I'm telling you, now it's an Eretz Yisrael. It's selling like hotcakes. It's like one of the most popular books in Eretz Yisrael the last couple of years. What?
When's it going to be in the curriculum?
No, there is a curriculum, but it's hard to find sforum. I talk a lot about it in shul, but I'm afraid to talk about it in shul because people get very upset.
Why isn't this? Of course, it's not the yeshiva for a reason.
Because it wasn't taught. It wasn't. I can't explain why. But it's, you know, a lot of this stuff I know it, but when I want to say it in shul, people aren't ready to hear it, and I have to be very careful. Who do I say it? When do I say it? Most people aren't ready to hear this, and they will leave the shul. He's off the deep end. The rabbi, okay, he's going on his rant now. He's talking about God again. He's talking about being close. You know, I'm telling you, if you think about it, on a typical Shabbos, I really don't talk that much about Hashem. On a typical drush, I don't talk about it. I don't talk about it because it's very upsetting to people. It's very upsetting to people, and I have to be careful of the audience. There's a lot of people who aren't there that long, and to talk that it's to be talked about at 6:15 in the morning. It's to be talked about at Shalosh Shudas. At Shalosh Shudas, I talk more like that, you know, because then you know you've got the serious people, the ones who are ready to hear the hard message. But you know, what did I talk about the last couple weeks on Shabbos? Have a good friend. Okay, can't get upset as I have a good friend. Have a good friend. Have a good friend to be a better Jew, right? So people can hear that. We talked about all subjects. You can't get upset. The rabbi says, "Have a good friend," right? So you keep talking about it. It's so frustrating for me not to talk about what really should be talked about. Okay, how to keep Shabbos a little better? We did that for a while. You'll get a deeper understanding. What does Shabbos mean? Okay, as long as we don't really hit them over the head with this Hashem business. Okay. But at 6:15, that's the time to do it. That's the time to do it. And it's much harder to... Yeah. What can I say? Okay, let's go on. So, did we finish the bottom of the page? Yeah. Right? So Mitch asked a good question as I was in midstream on a point, but I held one more aspect to it. So this idea for us to say, okay, I don't know what this close to Hashem is, I'll get there in the world to come, and that's fine. Even though I don't know. So like that is totally wrong. Because what we have to know, the goal of this life is to feel this closeness to Hashem. And not to worry about the next world. That's the real point. The real point is in this world to feel that closeness to Hashem. Okay, Lutzado says when you'll get the next world, you'll feel it even more because you don't have a body. Okay, you know what? I don't have to worry about that. I don't have to worry about that. That's God's problem. And I don't have to be so curious. But right now, how am I going to feel it? You know, isn't it interesting, you know, if we'll give a talk. Okay, what are the lectures that get the greatest turnouts? Okay? The greatest turnouts are, you know, or better yet, I have, I'm friendly with Ben Blufarb, right? So he has a, he's a member in a, not by his design, but he has a chevra of Reformed Jews, or his friends, whatever. And they have a chavura, where they study Torah, right? So he said, maybe you'll give a class to my chevra one time. I said, fine, you know, it'll be very interesting for me to go into a lion's den. So,
Daniel did it.
Yeah, right. So I said, okay, tell me what topic they want to hear. So what was the topic they wanted to hear? What do you think the topic they want to hear about?
No.
Heaven and hell.
There you go.
Heaven and hell. So let's think about, why do they want to hear about heaven and hell? Because they don't have to bother with it now.
There you go.
In other words, what are the most popular classes? The most popular classes are what happens to you after you die, right? What happens to you after you die? Who am I a Gilgal of? They love Gilgals, you know, reincarnation and transmigrated souls. They love it. You know, what's going to happen in the world to come? What's Mashiach going to be like? When Mashiach is this and we come a resurrected, who will I be married to? My first wife or my second wife, right? No, but it's unbelievable. You know, or you talk about Zivugim and Bashertz and Zivug Rishon, Zivug Sheni. So which one is really the main one? They love talking about everything that happened before you were born and after you die. Everyone loves that stuff. But how to live right now, nobody wants to hear that class. Think about it. Nobody wants to hear that class because that means I'll have to know, oh, that's really interesting. You know, the curiosity questions. That's really interesting. You mean it's good? We're really going to come back? We're going to go back. What are you going back? As a 20-year-old, as a 40-year-old, I'm going to come back in the suit they buried me in. If I come back as a skeleton, it's unbelievable. They mamish don't want to know it 100% detail. You know why? Because it doesn't require anything of them now. It requires nothing. That's why I don't like talking about it so much. Because it doesn't really help. That's what Rambam says. The Rambam, after he does this talk, you know, where, what Olam Haba is, and what Mashiach is, and this, he says, you know, it's not worth to talk about so much about this, because you know what, it doesn't make you any frummer, and doesn't make you a bigger Eved Hashem. Okay, you need to know the fundamental points, you need to know this, but that, you know what, if you don't know exactly what's gonna be at Mashiach, exactly, the detail, you know, when are we gonna get resurrected, in the beginning, if you don't know that, it will not affect your Yiddishkeit at all. As long as you know there is resurrection, as long as you know there is Olam Haba, as long as you know there is Mashiach, you don't need to know anything more. Not a little bit more, but not much more than that. You don't need any details. You don't have to be an expert in all the 26 opinions as to this, that. That's not going to make you a better Jew. But everybody likes to go to those classes. But I'm saying, you know, we're going to talk about how you can keep the Shabbos today and enjoy the Shabbos today. Also, nobody's going to that class. You know, and that's what the Rebbe is saying. He's saying, the point is, Judaism wants you to know how to be close to Hashem while you're alive, and while you're alive to appreciate that. That's what we should be spending our time on. And not saying, well, when I die, and when we come to Olam Haba, then I'll know what this closeness is. That's not proper. Okay, Chav Dalet. Let's go a little bit more. Nita Mashaldar. Let's give an analogy to this. Adam Chaser Dira. A guy does not have an apartment. He needs an apartment. So Chasach La'atzva Meshach Ke'esrim Shana B'chol Chayrish Chayrish Chum Mitzuyam. So what does he do? He starts saving during a 20-year period of time. Every month he puts away a few bucks. Achalacha Ke'esrim Shana, after about 20 years, Niskabtsu B'yad Schum Shomos, he has gathered up enough money, Shef Shirlik Nosimon Beisr. He could buy a nice apartment now. He's got the money. In Eretz Yisrael, you have to buy apartments. That's the way it is. So good. So now all the money's in his hand. He's got, let's say, $200,000, whatever, enough to buy an apartment, whatever. He goes with his money to buy an apartment. But he doesn't know where you go to buy an apartment. How do you go to buy an apartment? So what would you do? So if Ian lived in Eretz Yisrael, you go to Ian and say, listen, you're a real estate agent, help me find an apartment. He says, okay, where do you want to live? Well, I want a place that's got a nice view. I want this, I want that. He says, okay. So now he goes to his multiple listings. He says, okay, I got 15 options for you. Take a look. I can arrange this and that and that, everything else. Okay, you know where to go to get the apartment, right? But this guy doesn't know. He doesn't know there's an idea called a real estate agent. He doesn't understand what it means as a place that is in charge of the buying and the selling and this and that. All he knows, he wants an apartment. Who Yoshev Achayshev Heichan Moichadir. He thinks, where can I buy an apartment? But he has no understanding what direction to go, where they sell apartments, and how to buy it. He talks over to his friends. Hey, do you know how I get an apartment? So he said, listen, I'll tell you what, you go to this real estate agent, go to Ian, he'll help you get an apartment. Guys, I don't know, Ian looks kind of funny. He doesn't have a hat that says, that's shining, buy. He says, you know, I don't want to go to the guy. But he's the guy who can get you to sell it, right? He doesn't listen to their advice. He says, go to real estate. Nah, I'm not going to real estate agent. They don't know what they're doing. I only go to a guy with a PhD, doctorate, and this and that. Otherwise, they really don't know what they're doing. So I'm going to answer, but it's wrong. He keeps thinking, how am I going to buy this apartment? How am I going to buy this apartment? What am I going to do? He's really thinking hard. Ulaika. Maybe I'll go here. Maybe I'll go there. He goes to this building. He just goes to the building with a bunch of doctors. Here, can you tell me how I can, you sell me an apartment? What are you talking about? They're not in the right place. He keeps going from place to place. He doesn't come up with he can't buy anything. Here's the tragedy. He's got all the money to buy the apartment. It's in his hand. He doesn't have an apartment. Because he doesn't know where they sell apartments. He doesn't know how to buy one. This analogy is our lives. And that's we'll close. You know what the similarity is? A guy who does mitzvahs and learns Torah. He knows a lot of Torah. He knows a few mesechtas of Talmud. He's done a lot of mitzvahs. That's cash. That's spiritual cash. But he doesn't know where to go to buy with that cash the idea of I will create a sanctuary in my heart. He doesn't know where to go to buy it. Liknos beis pnimi, to buy an inner sanctum. Benefesh, in his soul, Shebo Yishkon Ar Hashem, that there will dwell the light of Hashem. Vashem Yisporach Yidor Bovov, and that Hashem should live in his heart. So we're all looking to buy that apartment. To buy that apartment where, I want an apartment where me and Hashem are there. Where Hashem is mamish in my apartment. I want to buy such an apartment. And you know what? I've got a lot of money saved up. I've learned a lot of Torah. I've done a lot of mitzvahs. I've got the currency to get there. But you know what? You haven't gone to the guy who can sell you the apartments. So the guy who doesn't know what closeness to Hashem really means, so he's got the cash and he doesn't have the place to go. So Mirtz Hashem, if we stick with the program a few more days, just a few more days, we'll begin to see how to get to that apartment in Mirtz Hashem.